It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
What do you make of this email that I received from a ministry talking about an outpouring taking place at a meeting in Africa, in Nigeria? 85,000 people present the first night, many responding to the altar call to be saved, and then after prayer for the sick, quote, "I prayed for the sick," this brother says, "and miracles began to pop like popcorn. A woman crippled for 21 years began to walk without help. A man blind for 5 years and a woman blind for 4 years suddenly received perfect sight. A young man unable to speak since he was 10 months old began to speak clearly. At one point, my eyes filled with tears as I saw what God had done in the lives of so many precious people. Gifts, power of the Spirit, miracles, healings, blind eyes opening, happening not just one or two, but many." What do you think when you hear something like that? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. I was driving in my car yesterday, flipped on this very radio station, and maybe a different station than you're listening on, but the one I'd be listening on in Charlotte, 960 AM, and Pastor John MacArthur was on. I enjoy listening to him when I'm in the car sometimes. I appreciate his love for the Lord, his love for the Word, his love for souls. And someone had sent in a message to him, a question about tongues. And he said, you know what, we used to get these all the time. We get them less frequently now. But the caller that left the question said, again, it's not a live talk show, but they have a call-in question line. The caller left the question and said, you know, I read about gift and tongues in Scripture. What I hear in charismatic churches doesn't seem to line up. Is it for today? And he said, no, of course, it's not for today. The gift of tongues is not for today. And he read from the Scriptures, from 1 Corinthians, he just made reference and said, look, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us tongues will cease, and they did. And they ceased for centuries, he said. And when they came back, it's not real gift of languages, as he said. It should be people speaking foreign languages as a sign of the gospel and other aspects to a judgment sign on unbelievers, etc. It's just gibberish today. And he referred people to his commentary on 1 Corinthians and to his book, Charismatic Chaos. Well, here's a report from Africa saying that just in one particular night that miracles, quote, began to pop like popcorn. Blind seeing, cripples walking. Certainly seem that the gifts and power of the Spirit are for today. Or is that part of a mass deception? Is that part of a mass deception taking place in the body? Is this part of the apostasy, of the darkness that's covering the church, of drawing people away from the true Jesus and into all of these false emphases that are feeling-oriented and experience-oriented, that are going to lead people away from the Word of God and just cause them to have to lean on some outward crutch? Next week, Monday, Tuesday, I'm scheduled here on the Line of Fire to be having a Christian debate, so we won't be hostile, yelling at each other, with a gentleman named Pat Donahue, who's done scores of debates on different subjects and contacted me a couple months back and said, hey, would you be interested in doing a debate on one thing I do with baptism and the other about cessationism and the gifts of the Spirit not being for today? And I said, boy, I've just been thinking that I wanted to debate someone on gifts of the Spirit for today, so let's do it. So, God willing, that's Monday and Tuesday of this coming week. We are scheduled to discuss these things. I have to admit, I was quite shocked to hear the answer, Pastor MacArthur, with all respect to his love for the Word and the commentaries that he's written. So I'm sure he had more to say than he said in those few seconds. And by the way, he didn't call to check with me to see how I'd feel about it. I haven't called to check with him to see how he feels about my comments. This is part of us as Christian leaders, sharing, talking, opening the Word, comparing notes, giving our views, doing our best to be responsible teachers in whatever capacity that we stand and operate. But when he said tongues will cease, that's a proof that they did. That gift of languages, as he called it, ceased. It's over. Well, hang on. Can we read the passage? 1 Corinthians 13:8. And I believe we'll be hearing this passage from our speaker next week, from our guest on the show next week. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And he goes down to say, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, then I'll know fully, even as I'm fully known. Obviously talking about the return of Jesus and the perfect age. But the same passage, the same line, same verse that says, quote, tongues will cease, says knowledge is going to pass away. Well, has that happened yet? Has knowledge passed away? Well, I'll get into more of that argument next week. But how do we really know? I mean, miracle reports, you see some guy on TV and then you find out, well, it's not really happening the way they claim, or people claim it's corrupt and they're just making money off of it. There was a video posted. Some students just shot this with a cell phone. One of our students was being prayed for and said that he found out last year that one of his legs was half inch shorter than the other, and you know that can cause back problems and other issues like that and whatever. I don't know if there are any problems associated with it. And one of our grads came in, prayed for him, and someone just happened to have their cell phone out and shot this as it was happening. We just put it on for discussion on our Voice of Revolution online magazine on our website, AskDrBrown.org, and it's generated some interesting comments because you see there the legs just get even. Now, was one being pulled? Did it just grow? I mean, the student was really blessed. He was excited and said, hey, praise God. This is God's goodness. Others are very skeptical. Look, I was in a church, Saved in a Pentecostal church. I remember a dear brother, I mean, he's a very sincere brother, came in. He was all excited. Someone had a back problem, and he prayed and felt, you know, the legs were out, were not even. And when he prayed, the legs got even, and then the back was healed. And so he had this new thing he was doing. He was praying for everybody for legs to grow. And I remember being skeptical, seeing it as a young person, you know, in the Lord. I thought, okay, if someone walked up perfectly fine, they weren't limping either way, they didn't seem out of balance, they walked up perfectly fine and a leg grew, then shouldn't they walk back with a limp? And I remember there was this one lady, she had a big platform shoe, probably built up a couple inches because her legs were really out of whack. And, you know, she had that funny limp as she walked, that kind of funny gait, probably back problems because of it. But she came walking back the same way. I mean, just with that. And I thought, okay, what in the world is going on here? And my friends and I, we were kind of skeptical at this point. And we'd seen a few things that troubled us. And we sat down and we just grew each other's legs and arms. It just seemed easy to just unintentionally shift things. And it looked like they were growing. And was it really happening? And so I understand the skepticism. And then some said, look, you can't believe these. Why are the miracles happening in Africa? Why are they happening over here? Why don't we see them with our own eyes? Someone posted immediately after looking at the video on our website and said, we need to be boldly cautious, bold to pray and ask for God to help, bold to believe, yet cautious in that there is another who can also manifest signs and wonders. Even the very elect could be deceived. If we're not careful, so far the fruit I've seen from, quote, the miracle movement has been rather tainted. And then, you know, raise the question, okay, gold dust and feathers and gems and gold teeth and all this crazy stuff. And then that becomes the focus, and it seems to mainly be people are always doing it. It's some kind of money, and it's associated with personalities. And, I mean, is this just a lot of deception that's out there? Some of the counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus warned us about? The very thing it says that the Antichrist is going to work these things. The book of Revelation tells us that. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that. Jesus warns about these things in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 talks about false apostles that are actually servants of Satan but masquerade as servants of light. Or is it true that there's some counterfeit out there? And hey, if you're going to have counterfeit, you've got to have some real counterfeit. You don't have a counterfeit $3 bill, do you? No, because there's no $3 bill. So you don't counterfeit something that's not real. Could it be that God really is moving around the earth? Could it be that these reports of miracles and healings are actually taking place? Could it be that blind eyes are still being opened today, even as I speak, that God is doing this in different parts of the world in answer to prayer, in answer to the proclamation of the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus? How do we sort this out? How do we judge? What have you seen? Have you seen flaky stuff? Are you skeptical when you hear the reports? Or do you say, praise God, he's at work, 866-34-TRUTH. I got some amazing quotes from the past to share with you. We'll take your calls when we come back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Remember, March 4th and 5th, Thursday night, Friday day, Discover Fire. This is not our time to recruit students. This is our time to say, look, there is a commission laid before us by the Lord Jesus to go out and impact this generation, to reach the nations, to touch America. If he's calling you, come and get trained and equipped, and we will help get you ready and send you out. That's March 4th, Thursday night, March 5th, Friday day. Question. We're talking about the miraculous. We're talking about reports of miracles, healings, how we respond to them. Is there a massive deception going on? Because there are several hundred million people, some say as many as 500 million around the world, claiming that the Holy Spirit is working today in signs and wonders and miracles and tongues, etc. And there are others saying that's a sign of apostasy. That's not a move of God. That's a sign of the church departing from the scriptures and getting out into dangerous territory. What is it? How do we know? If you ask God to fill you with his spirit, is it possible that you can open yourself up to demons? If you ask God, Lord, I'm reading in the word about tongues, and if this is from you, I want to receive it. Okay? Can you open yourself up to demons? Is it possible that a demon will get involved with that or bring you into deception or because you're looking for something beyond the Bible or some experience that you might get demonized? And maybe you feel something come on you, and you feel this power come on you, and you begin to speak in this new language. Maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's deception. Or is that complete foolishness? If Jesus said, if you ask for bread, my Father won't give you a stone. Right? He said, what man among there is you? If his son asks for bread, his dad will give him a stone. If he asks for fish, his dad will give him a snake. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things? That's Matthew 7:11, Luke 11:13. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. If you come and say, Father, we just want everything you have for us so that we can serve you more effectively, can you open yourself up to demons and deception in doing that? Let me read you these accounts. I've got some other wild quotes I'm going to get to, but first these accounts. Two missionaries, one in China, the other Latin America, okay? Both of them were in a Pentecostal service. Both were exposed to fervent speaking in tongues. Both came to definite conclusions, completely opposite. So here's Raymond Frame, missionary to China. He opened himself up to speaking in tongues when his co-worker began getting excited in the service. Quote, I didn't want to be left out of the blessing that he was receiving. I let my mind become quite blank and began yielding myself to the external power outside myself that seemed to be pleading for full control of me. At once a feeling of paralysis began to numb my feet. It soon affected my legs. I knew that before long I too would be lying helpless on the floor, as were several others in the crowd. At the instant the numbness reached my knees, I became alarmed. This thing is coming upon me, not from heaven, but from beneath. This is the wrong direction. I thought to myself, without a moment's hesitation, I cried out, may the blood of Christ protect me from this thing. And once it vanished, and I was normal again. A month later, I met that co-worker of mine at another place. He appeared to be a sober and chastened man. You know, Ray, the thing that happened to me that night wasn't of God, it was of the devil. My friend then described the spiritual darkness into which he was plunged following that ecstatic experience. You have something like that happen to you? You ask God, fill you with the Spirit. You were at a meeting where everyone was speaking in tongues and people falling down around you, and something happened to you, and you got plunged into spiritual darkness after that and concluded the whole thing was of the devil? Well, here's this experience of a missionary in Colombia. One time I was praying in a meeting, I believed very little in this matter of tongues and had doubts. But on May 20th, 1967, in a prayer meeting in church, as I was praying in a very concentrated way, all of a sudden I felt as if someone had turned a very strong searchlight on me and I was burning. I was going to speak in Spanish but couldn't. I couldn't see anything but flames of fire all around me. And I felt as if I were burning. Then I began to speak in tongues. I was conscious, but I was in ecstasy. And he talks about, of course, the wonderful fruit that came out of his life. Who's right? Is it from above? Is it from below? Are we opening ourselves up to demonic deception? Or if we're not opening ourselves up to the greater things of the Holy Spirit, or are we dishonoring God and making the gospel less effective because we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses and for the Holy Spirit to testify through us? 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. There was a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit, the famous Welsh Revival, 1904-1905, swept through Wales, went from there really around the world. Do you know that there were many people that weren't happy with it when the outpouring came? Do you know that there were people, some of the senior leaders in the nation, that completely rejected what the Holy Spirit was doing and branded it demonic? Are you aware of that? In point of fact, Peter Price, who was one of the church leaders, respected church leaders in this community, he said quite flatly, quite plainly, that this thing is a sham, a mockery, a blasphemous travesty of the real thing. Now it's considered to be one of the greatest moves of the Spirit in church history. Now check this out. G. Campbell Morgan, went to Wales, respected Bible expositor, went to Wales, saw what was happening, was stunned by what God was doing. And he said, it's almost as if God said, look what I can do, because it's happening here and here and here, and boom, 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 without coordination. Wow. People being transformed. Now, there wasn't emphasis on tongue speak or anything, but people being transformed and lives being changed and on and on and on. Then G. Campbell Morgan hears about Azusa Street outpouring with speaking in tongues and some of the reports that were coming from there, some exaggerated, some accurate. And according to G. Campbell Morgan, the same one that said that this Welsh outpouring was amazingly from God, now the Azusa Street outpouring a couple years later, what does he say? He described it as the last vomit of Satan. Did you get that? The last vomit of Satan. R.A. Torrey, powerful preacher, teacher, author of important books on prayer and the Holy Spirit, early president of Moody Bible Institute, when he heard about Azusa Street and whatever reports or whatever he witnessed, he said, it is emphatically not of God and founded by a sodomite, because there are accusations that Charles Parham had abused a young man or been sexually involved with another man, and he was the one through whom William Seymour was touched, and the outpouring came through Seymour. H.A. Ironside, I mean, these were well-known, respected leaders in their day. He described the modern holiness and Pentecostal movements as disgusting delusions and insanities. Writing in 1912, he characterized Pentecostal meetings as pandemonians. Pandemoniums were exhibitions worthy of a madhouse or a collection of howling dervishes were causing a heavy toll of lunacy and infidelity. Others say that this is the greatest move in the history of the church, has brought more people to Jesus around the world today than any other thing in church history. How do we sort this out? We're going to give you some guidelines. Take your calls. Ariel from High Point, you're next. David Gordon, hang on. We'll be getting to the call. Stay with us.
Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, so pleased that we can spend this time together. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. If the phones are jammed, you can always shoot me a note, and we can respond to your questions or share your comments on the air as well. Started the show reading an account of a recent meeting in Nigeria and claiming that blind eyes were opening and cripples were walking and mute people were talking, all in the name of Jesus in response to prayer. Some would say this is amazing. This is God. This is the gospel. This is what we should expect. Others say, no, got to be very cautious. Sounds counterfeit to me because we have the Bible and the Bible is enough. How do we sort these things out? Tongues from above, from below. I'm going to weigh in very clearly on all this in a little while, but I want to give time to hear from you before I say more in terms of my own perspective. Maybe you know my perspective, but I want to hear from you before I share more of mine. Ariel in High Point, thanks for calling today.
Hi. I was in regards to the speaking in tongues, a lot of times people use the reference of the day of Pentecost and the disciples were speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But, on that day, there were people coming from all different types of nations, from all over the world, and the disciples were anointed to speak in each man's tongue so that they all could understand what they were saying. But a lot of people take that and run with it and say they spoke in tongues. But a lot of times when the Bible is talking about speaking in tongues, it's talking about another language. And also, you should have an interpreter. And many times when people speak in tongues, they say it's between themselves and God, but they do it out loud. And the Bible says if you're going to do it, if you don't have an interpreter, do it to yourself.
Right,
but
so,
when people do it, they do it out loud, and there's no interpreter. But the Bible does say there should be an interpreter.
All right, now, do you take that to mean someone who knows that language or someone who has been gifted by God with a gift of interpretation?
Someone who knows the language.
Okay,
or any person who can interpret what that person is saying who knows that language. But
right.
If someone is just bad language,
Ariel, right. Just hang on for one second, though, okay?
Okay.
If we're just talking about someone who speaks the language, why is it called the gift of the Spirit, the gift of interpretation?
The gift of interpretation?
Maybe if it's a gift. Yeah.
We have many gifts. We have many gifts. But I personally, through looking at this, if you read the Bible, it's not saying it's some unknown language. It's a language. It's a different tongue that other nations speak. I have the gift to be able to know more than multiple languages. That's a gift. A lot of people don't know more than one language, and
right.
It is a gift.
Okay. All right. But it's also in the context of gifts of healing and miracles. Like, I studied 13 languages between college and grad school. Some I know well, some I know a little.
Right.
That's a natural gift, though. That's different than a gift of healing.
It's not a natural gift.
All right, so you think that when Paul was giving the list of... Right, when you think Paul was giving the list of, I had to work hard to study, whereas if there's a gift of healing, you can't work hard to do that. It's healing power coming through you.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it not a gift if I'm able to play music on a piano?
Yeah,
everyone can't play it, even though I was not born with the ability to play the piano. But is it not a gift? It's a talent. It's a gift. God bless me with that gift. Not everybody can pick up how to play the piano.
Exactly.
Or knowing another language.
Yeah, but hang on. There's one reference to tongues being a foreign language in Acts, the second chapter. Any of the other times, it doesn't mention it being a foreign language at all. But what it does talk about in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So that would clearly be saying this is not an earthly language because no one understands it.
Whether
it should be spoken through a microphone in public without interpretation, that's a whole other issue. But I appreciate where you're coming from, and next week we're going to be getting into this more. So thanks for weighing in. I want to take a few more calls,
but
you've made your point very clearly. Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. David and Charlotte, thanks for calling.
No problem, Dr. Brown. Good topic. Just a couple of points here. Number one, I do not think that God would create a chaotic scene. Would you agree with that? And so if there's chaos and pandemonium, I would have to definitely question that. But also, I do not see a true believer who knows the Lord personally able to be possessed by Satan. So I don't think that would happen as well. I would think it might be something mental, like a mass hysteria type of thing. Mm-hmm. As far as the miracles going, you know, people speaking and blind speaking, I know, you know, firsthand experience, there's a lot of fakes out there on TV. I mean, I don't want to say any names, but someone named Benny Hinn, I saw a commercial for him selling his miracle water. And to me, that's just taking advantage of people. But, you know, God does do miracles every day in people's lives. So I think I can't comment on that. But as far as the speaking in tongues and the pandemonium, I would definitely have to say that, you know, I can't picture God creating a chaotic scene like that. And I'll just take your thoughts off air. Thank you allowing me to speak.
Yes. Can I ask you one question before you get off?
Sure. Absolutely.
Just to clarify something, I don't believe that God is going to create a scene of chaos. But just a question, when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, and we don't know how the believers were behaving, but we know that as they're speaking all these other languages, that people see what's going on, right? And some praise God, and others say they're drunk. And, you know, they accuse John the Immerser of having a demon. And, you know, Jesus drives out demons from someone and 2,000 swine go and run into the water. And that, you know, so in other words, a lot of controversy can happen when God moves. So would that be a chaotic scene at Pentecost? Because some of the people were saying this is God and others are saying they're drunk.
The difference between that and what you're talking about is after people accused people of being drunk, Peter had the opportunity to proclaim the gospel, the good news.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And at that point, you know, it wasn't chaotic anymore. I think there's a big difference.
Okay, good. I just wanted that defined so we could hear that, right? And he didn't get up and say, here's how to receive your miracle. He explained, this is what's happening. This is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he preached Jesus and him crucified, called for
repentance.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
Got it. All right. Thank you for the call, David.
Thank you.
All right. So just to make some comments before we go back to the phones. There's no question that when Jesus shows up, it brings a sort of division. It's when he's prophesied over as a baby by Simeon, what's spoken there, that he's appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign to be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So if something claims to be God working and there's not some resistance, opposition, you have to check again to see if it really is the Holy Spirit at work, because there's going to be controversy. But God is not the author of confusion. God will not inspire Brother A to prophesy it's going to rain tomorrow and Brother B to prophesy there will be no rain tomorrow. That would be confusion. What's interesting, though, is that the order, when Paul says, let everything be done decently and according to order at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, I would dare say if most of us were in a service like this or a house meeting like this, we'd think, whoa, this is order? But it's God's order. I want to read that when we come back. Gordon, hang in there. We'll get your call on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH. If you ask God to fill you with the Spirit, are you opening yourself up to the devil or to God?
God of light,
welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here with you. Please bless. Enjoying our time together. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Before we go back to the phones, just got a prayer request as we're talking about miracles and what does God do today. Without question, as our last caller said, we see certain things, be it on TV or get exposed to it in our churches, that raise questions. Is this manipulative? Is this about the money? Is this real? Are the reports real? We can't get to a point, though, where we throw out the real because of things that concern us. We throw out the real because of counterfeits that may be out there. And just got a note from our new producer, Joey, who's taking over for our faithful producer for so long, Josh. Joey's got a 2-year-old son who... he's allergic to peanuts, is 2 years old, highly allergic to peanuts. He had contact with peanut butter today. Joey, this is the dad working our board right now. Just got a picture. His face swells up, breaks out in hives. It infects the breathing. He's really swelled up badly now. His name is Joseph. Could we agree in prayer right now for Joseph? Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up this little boy to you that you created and made for your honor and glory, to be healthy and strong and serve you with vigor and might. Lord, in Jesus' name, I come against everything that is not from you. Lord, you said to submit to you and resist the devil, and he would flee. And we know that there are attacks from hell. We know that there are physical things that malfunction. Whatever it is not from above. We speak healing, life, blessing to him. We ask you to touch him right now. Send your word, heal him. Reverse this condition. Even now, reverse it. May breathing come. May the hives disappear. May the swelling go. We come against everything that is not from you in Jesus' name, as your people, as your servants, as your soldiers, and ask for your spirit to touch and deliver and make whole. May it be clear that your hand delivered him. Heal him, we pray, God, even of these allergies, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks. Thank you, folks. We don't often stop and pray for things on the air, but this was the right time to do that. We expect blessing from God. Gordon in Kannapolis, thanks so much for holding. What are your thoughts, sir?
Oh, well, first off, amen to your prayer.
Amen. Thank you.
Definitely the right timing. The other thing, I was just going into the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. A lot of people, from my experience, have used tongues in different ways. And I just go by what 1 Corinthians says. They need to kind of be careful on how they're using it. It says, 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, a person who speaks tongues is strengthening themselves personally, but one who speaks words of prophecy strengthens the entire church. That's just one thing to keep in mind, that it's a personal thing. But I believe that it is a gift, you know, and everybody has the gift. Not everybody has the gift, but certain people have the gift. It even says on line 5, I wish all people could speak in tongues, or all people could prophesy. But my commentary says, Paul's words to the Corinthians about tongues and prophecy have much to say about our generation. Many Christians struggle with discussion of the tongues, but clearly Paul would say no one should put down those who speak in tongues, and those who speak in tongues should not discourage the ones who do not. Mm-hmm. And I've heard where some churches feel that if you can't speak in tongues, you're not truly anointed by the Spirit.
Well, Gordon, there's some that actually say if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved because you don't have the Spirit. Yeah, so some absolutely, completely violate what Paul's saying here, for sure.
Correct. Yeah, I was just saying to be careful with it, that's all.
Yeah, and there are abuses on both sides. Hey, Gordon, thank you for calling and reading those verses to us, and thanks for the amen to the prayer. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Hey, look at what Paul writes here, 1 Corinthians 14. Listen to this. He's talking about doing things in order, right? God is not the author of confusion. What then shall we say, brothers, when you all come together? So this is a citywide meeting or a house meeting where they're all packing in, right? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church, for the congregation. Then he goes on to say, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be one at a time, and someone should interpret. There's no interpreters. Speakers should keep quiet. Two or three prophets should speak. The others should... This is order. This is an ordered service, according to Paul. I think it would throw a whole bunch of people today. And then at the end, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Don't forbid it, he said. That's the word of God. Don't forbid it. How do we know if it's God or not? I'm going to talk about that when we come back. Oh, by the way, this email I've been reading, it's from one of our former students, Dan Kalenda, serving Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. I trust this. I absolutely trust that this is really happening, and he's reporting this to the glory of God. All right, we'll be back. Hey, friends, welcome back. Thanks so much for being with us on the show today. Let me read a comment from Jeff, who wrote in. He said, when I hear about these miracles taking place across the world, we've been talking about healings, miracles. How do we discern? Is this God? Is this the devil? These things for today. He said, when I hear, I rejoice because I know God is moving. I also feel bad for those overly skeptical people who allow their denominational doctrines to get in the way and stop them from accepting it. I don't understand how a preacher could say to a sick person, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and Satan somehow intervenes, gets in the way, and heals the person. That sounds like having more faith in the devil than Jesus. Good comment, Jeff. I get into that in my book, The Revival Answer Book, Rightly Discerning the Contemporary Revival Movements. I encourage you to go to our website, pick up a copy of that, The Revival Answer Book. All right, I've got a few closing thoughts, but I'm going to squeeze in one more call. Fred in Durham, all right, I'm not going to squeeze that in because we lost Fred there. So let me give you some closing thoughts, okay? Number one, our emphasis, our eyes are on Jesus. Our emphasis is to see Jesus exalted. Our goal is to see the Son of God exalted in the church and people turning to him in the world to the glory of God the Father. Is it not? That's what we live and breathe for. And our sure guide, our absolute authority, not our feelings, not our emotions, not our experience, but the Word of God. That's what we base everything on. I once was talking to a Baptist preacher in an airport in Rome, and he said to me, you know, Southern Baptists, they're good people. And thank God for fine Southern Baptists all over America, not just in the South. Thank God for my fine, upstanding Southern Baptist brothers and sisters, fellow workers in Jesus, lifting up the Lord, following the Word. He said, you know, if it's not in the Bible, we don't believe it. Well, amen to that. The flip side, if it is in the Bible, we do believe it. That's the flip side. If it is in the Bible, we do believe it. Listen, if the Bible indicates that something is for today or not for today or right or wrong, whatever it says, whatever I'm supposed to believe, what do I know? I'm just a little ignorant person. What do I? Well, I mean, 6'3", big guy, but as a human being, just what do I know? What do you know? This is our anchor. This is the light of our soul. This is the foundation of truth. And what's written here, I want to wholeheartedly embrace. Because of what's written here, I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. I believe in the baptism of the Spirit with speaking in tongues for today. I know some of the finest Christians in the world don't agree with me on this point. God bless them. We hold to the fundamentals together, and we will enjoy Jesus in this world and in eternity together. And I thank God for every good thing that comes out of my brothers and sisters that differ on this point, a point we'll take up in debate next Monday, Tuesday, God willing. But that being said, I am bound in conscience to follow what's written in the Word, and my own experience over these years, and the Lord has confirmed it personally, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, being built up, edified. And although I see a fraction of what I'd like to see, I see a fraction of what I believe we could see according to the promises in the Word, no question we've seen people healed. No question God works miracles. No question he speaks and acts supernaturally. We never put our eyes on the miracle or the sign. We put our eyes on Jesus and base things on the Word. But these things confirm, lift up, encourage, and are just signs of God working among you. And if you in sincerity come to your Father and say, God, I want everything you have for me. Father, I don't want anything from the devil. I don't want anything from this world. I want you. I want what you have for me. Everything you have, give to me. Fill me, saturate me. Friend, you will not get a demon doing that. If you ask for your Father for bread, you will not get a stone. Tomorrow we will be taking your questions. You've got questions. We will have answers tomorrow. So be ready to call in and go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Check out the healthy, lively discussions taking place in the Line of Fire blog. Read the Voice of Revolution magazine. Take advantage of the free library of resources. Share it with your friends. Be back with you tomorrow.
This is the Truth Radio Network.